Hi, this is Randy Eccles, and you're listening to Community Voices on NPR Illinois 91.9 UIS. Today, our guest is Mary Francis, and Mary has been busy doing some different things, including a documentary recently that we will learn more about. Welcome, Mary. How are you?
I'm good, Randy. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So to get started, tell us a little bit about yourself. Are you from Springfield? What about you?
Yeah, I'm originally from around Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and I moved out here around 1978. I came back in 1988, and I've been in Springfield for about 32 years. My parents moved out here. My stepfather was a mining engineer, and he was working for a coal company out here. So we got transferred here.
Tell us about the documentary and the significance behind it.
Yeah, the documentary, I started in May. And the reason I did it was, well, there were a lot of reasons why I did it. It was partly because of the pandemic, and I wanted a creative project to do at home where I could pretty much do it on my own. George Floyd was also another reason, because I felt like I wanted to do something for Black lives, to show that Black lives matter. And I thought if I did a documentary film, it could help in some way. And then the other reasons were that I'm an artist, and I love documentary films, and I wanted to try to make one. So this was actually my first film.
Congratulations. So what's the title of the documentary?
It's called Eva Carol Monroe and the Lincoln Colored Home.
Who was Eva Carol Monroe?
Eva Carol Monroe was an African-American woman born in 1869 near Kewaunee, Illinois. Her father was a Civil War veteran. She was raised around Kewaunee. At the age of around 12, her mother died, and she had seven siblings. Her father got remarried a couple years later, and then a couple years later, Eva got married when she was 17. Her first husband divorced her for adultery, and she did have one child with him, and then her second husband died. So she came back to Illinois, to Springfield, in the late 1890s. She had a daughter. She was a single parent. I think she was looking for something to do that was meaningful for her. She came up with this idea for an orphanage for African-American children, because there wasn't one in Springfield. The next 45 years, she devoted to the Lincoln Colored Home.
It's not that simple to just start a facility like that. How easy was it for an African-American woman at that time to find the resources to start a home?
I think it was extremely difficult, although Eva somehow made it look easy. She was extremely determined and strong-willed and independent, and she did not like to be subservient to anyone. So she just went out there and did what she had to do to make this thing work. She was open to people of other races. She could move in the white world. She could move in the African-American world. She was politically adept. I think she had the social ability to cross that divide during that time, because that was during the Jim Crow era.
Did she meet a lot of resistance?
She did. She met a lot of resistance. And I tried to show that in the film with some of the newspaper articles. There were constantly rumors and government investigations going on, trying to say that people were sending their mixed race children to the home in secret, saying she was abusing the children. Or, I mean, this is just happening constantly. Or she was overspending her money, or there were sexual scandals. And this was happening constantly. And then I don't know if you saw in the film, but Susan Lawrence Dana wrote a long letter about Eva and all of her frustrations and accusations against Eva. And there were many. So she was up against a lot during that time.
Was she ever prosecuted or convicted?
Not that I know of. And she was actually a probation officer. She was the first African-American probation officer for Sangamon County. And that was in the early 1900s.
What is the legacy of the Lincoln Home?
The Lincoln Home legacy is, well, first of all, it's amazing to me that it's still standing and it's still in good condition. Just being able to see that physical reminder, I think, is a legacy in itself. If we can, with this film and any kind of history we can put together around it, I think it helps to show what an African-American can do during that time period, especially a woman. Because in the film, you can see that most of the occupations of people around her were laborer or cook or maybe domestic or porter. Eva's father actually started his own business in Kewaunee, and he ran for political office. So I think she was trying to emulate what he was doing. And I think that's the legacy she leaves there. But not only that, but she leaves a social service legacy because her home was the precursor for other social service agencies in Springfield, not only for African-American children, but for all children.
Will you make another documentary after trying your first one here?
I'm definitely going to make another one. I'm not sure yet what it's going to be.
With Eva, are there lessons from that that we can see today that apply to today?
Yeah, lessons. Never give up. Being open to people who are different from you, being willing to help and serve the community, being a role model, an inspiration. I think that's it there.
Was she received possibly eventually by the community?
I think Eva was a controversial person while she was alive. From both races, even in Springfield. I think I'm hoping with the film that I can show her in a different light, all of her amazing accomplishments in the professional world, in the social service world, in the civic world, with her family. She was a devoted sister, daughter. So I think things have gotten better. I think part of the responsibility is on us to honor people like Eva. Eva didn't have a gravestone when I started this documentary. Neither did her sister, neither did her mother. And I just think that's a basic thing that people should have. So that was my first priority when I made the film, was to get a gravestone for her mother, which I did. So there is one now in Kewaunee for her grave. And people in the Springfield community contributed for Eva's gravestone, and that was just placed recently in Oak Ridge Cemetery. So now Eva has a gravestone, and her father has a gravestone at Oak Ridge already because he was Civil War. That was the first thing I felt that needed to happen. But there are other things we can do in Springfield. I suggested that Douglas Park be named after Eva. I'd like to get some street markers up around the house. I would love to see the house turned into a house museum, a history of that orphanage that was there and honoring Eva. So I think part of the responsibility is on us to get people's story out there.
Have you been in touch with the Historical Society?
I've been in touch with the Illinois Historical Society, and they know about the film. And I've also been sending the film to film festivals. And I've entered in four different ones. And I already became a finalist in the Independent Shorts Awards in Los Angeles. It's a monthly film festival, and Eva's film was chosen as a finalist. I was happy about that.
It's a short. You said how long is the film?
It's 46 minutes.
You identified yourself as an artist as we started. Is there other art that you practiced since this was your first documentary?
Yeah, I do found art assemblages. I find objects outside usually and repurpose them and make them into assemblages. And I've exhibited those around the Midwest. So Chicago, St. Louis, Springfield. And I also do arts and crafts. So I'm a knitter. I make leather jewelry. I make wooden art sticks. I do a lot of different things. I do photography.
Do you have one that you're most passionate about?
Right now it's documentary film.
Good choice. You said part of the reason you decided to do this was how to deal with the pandemic. Mm-hmm. How are you coping with coronavirus?
I'm doing well because I had already been working from home for 9 years and I'm sort of a loner anyway. So it wasn't a problem for me to stay home. And doing the documentary, the researchers who helped me were so amazing in that they were willing to do everything online with me or over the phone or via Zoom. I couldn't have done it without their help.
Where'd you find the researchers?
The researchers, well, at the end of my film, there are probably about, at least 40 or 50 places listed on there. So Library of Congress, all kinds of places in Springfield and Illinois. Of course, I had to go to other states, you know, Missouri, Iowa, historical societies, museums, libraries, personal collections. And there were a lot of resources out there. But I have to say that the old newspapers were a gold mine for information.
What would you like to make happen or change in the next year?
I'm really bothered by the racial divisions that are happening right now all over the world and the level of violence, too. I mean, sometimes it's not just racial. It's just, you know, wars and conflicts. Probably the next film is going to be with an ethnic theme, and it might be on my own family because I'm actually Lebanese. I have a lot of family history back where I'm from in Pennsylvania. There are about 5 generations of my Lebanese family buried in one cemetery in Pennsylvania. And I don't know a lot about that family. So I might do a documentary on them. And at that time when they came over, it was Syria. So this would be like a Middle Eastern, probably ethnic film about my family. I want this to be a historical documentary, so I'm going to look at someone from the past, and I'm willing to take suggestions, too. Springfield has a rich ethnic history.
If someone wanted to email you a suggestion?
Yes, definitely.
If you go to nprillinois.org, we'll put that link up there so you have it, too. We really appreciate you being here on Community Voices to talk about your documentary regarding Eva Carol Monroe. Thank you, Mary Frances, for joining us today.
Thank you.
Eva Carol Monroe and the Lincoln Colored Home is Mary Frances' first documentary. Go to nprillinois.org to watch the video and the story behind Springfield's African-American orphanage.